The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live off the record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well, had a great weekend, restful, hopefully. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. It's 439-3043. So... I'm going to try to clear up a little bit of a scheduling matter for you in a little while, but I don't know whether or not you were able to see the government's messaging on its accomplishments 2 years in. The Prime Minister spoke to it, of what he felt were his administration's top achievements. He also talked about what more is left to be done. I don't know if you were able to hear or read or see, but it'd be interesting to know what you thought about it. I got the notice, the number one, the first thing that appeared on the list of accomplishments was free testing and a mask, raise minimum wage, hundreds of new officers recruited, new affordable housing, free Wi-Fi in the parks, 22 labor agreements in 24 months, new family island airports on the way, historic investments, Bahamas, Games, Grifter, thousands of new jobs, record low unemployment, record low. And there's more to come. This is a clip that went out from obviously from the public relations arm of the government. Prime Minister said 2 years ago when the PLP came into office, we said that we were not here to maintain the status quo. We were here to lay the foundation for big changes as we take steps toward a fairer and more prosperous society for all Bahamians. Our first priority was to drive the recovery of the economy and job market, strengthen the healthcare system, and reopen schools. So many people were suffering financially, going hungry, praying for better days. We moved in immediately to expand support to those who needed it the most while rolling out a new data-driven approach to combating COVID-19, he said. He said the economy roared back to life. We began seeing major progress as hope returned to our nation. Says with the recovery well on its way, we began laying the foundation for change in those early days by increasing the national minimum wage, lowering custom duties, investing in food security, and taking care of public servants by increasing salaries and decreasing backlogs. We invested in clinics and airports and roads on various family islands, paved the way for economic growth. Tourism arrivals are not now at record levels. Unemployment is at its lowest level in 15 years. Damons are getting the opportunity to own their own homes through our housing developments. We are securing the future by advancing the global conversations. And the list goes on. Well, I want to let you know that while I would be delighted to have that conversation with you today about some of those things, and I'm sorry I teased you, we are not having that conversation today. I didn't plan this way. I really didn't. But because you got a preview of it from David Williams, and because it's so important, and it's not only so important because of anything personal to myself, I didn't plan this way. But the gentleman upon whose knowledge and skill I had been relying now for several years in dealing with the issue that we're going to talk about today, was available today for a very important, critical message he has, they have, for all the men who need to be able to take, to pay attention to this message. I have the privilege of having with us our nation's finest, the area of urology, and I have Dr. Robin Roberts with us today to talk about a very important matter. Welcome, Dr. Roberts.
Good morning. Welcome, Rago. No, always good. A pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you. It's good to have you with us, Doc, and gentlemen, and people who love the gentleman. So that's everybody. I say gentlemen and the people who love the gentleman, you may want to pay attention, listen up today as I speak with Dr. Robin Roberts about an important set of events coming up, very important, useful to the things that we'll be talking about today. You know, Doc, you know my story, and I should tell you, I told people my story on the radio.
Listen, you know, I really want to applaud you for that, because one of the reasons that we have such a problem with men and carrying the burden of prostate cancer, and I really want to highlight the burden of prostate cancer, meaning it is one thing to have a disease which is common. It's another thing to see the burden of that disease in terms of the level of sickness in the society, the level of men who die from prostate cancer in the society, the way it affects the family of the men who have it, and the cost it has also to the men and to the society. It's a heavy burden. And if you want to reduce that burden, what we are talking about is that we want men to be more aware of prostate cancer and to do what is necessary to detect this disease at an early stage. And the point I want to emphasize here in the beginning, and why I said for you with regards to you coming into the open, is because next month is going to be breast cancer month. The waves, the airwaves, the visual media will be flooded. It's already started. with the pink this, pink that. And you will have the women who come on the television, on the radio, and social media, who are free to, who freely, willingly share with their other female counterparts their journey with breast cancer and what they have to do, and appealing to them to support, and appealing to them to get their mammograms.
As ought to be the case.
That's up. But you don't find a man doing that for prostate cancer.
Absolutely.
You don't find, you know, this, and you know, there's a thing we call pink the town blue. Blue is the color for men with regards to prostate cancer. And they talk about painting the color blue, having a walk for the men to look at awareness of prostate cancer. Looking at having walkathons and marathons. You don't see that for prostate cancer. You don't really get the men who would come on. Yeah, I talk about the ordinary bloke would come and say, listen, you know, I got a problem, and these are the issues I have, and I would like to share that with other men for them to, so they don't have the problems that I have, or I am here to assist them and carry them through this very depressive stage, you know, on how to cope. You don't see the man doing that.
I have heard some shows, even here on Guardian, where it has been done by those who advocate for early screening and what have you, but certainly nothing to the level that the women tend to do for breast cancer.
But a man to come on and say, I have prostate cancer, full stop. And it is well known that the celebrities who come out and they have their testimony that the men listen and they would come forward. And I really want to applaud the late Sir Lyndon Pendleton, who died of prostate cancer, that his last request a few days before he died was he had myself and Dr. Dwayne Sands come with him went live. And that was the last press conference he had. And he made an appeal to the men in this country to get their regular checkup, to be aware of prostate cancer, to get their blood tests, to have their prostate examinations. And I can tell you at that clinic, and the first time he did that, that evening, by 6 o'clock, and the clinic was supposed to be from 6 o'clock to 9, we had some 350 men who are waiting, lined up by 6 o'clock, and no one left the clinic. We didn't do the last patient until 11:30 in the night. So, you know, men who are influential in the society, who come out and they are bold enough, courageous enough to say that they have prostate cancer, and really make a plea to men to be more aware of their health and take initiative to do something about it. That,
you know, makes it you know something, Doc. I was sitting here before the show thinking how different a conversation you and I could have been having today had I not, at 38 years old, listened to someone who said, listen, when you turn 40, you want to do an annual checkup and you want to screen yourself annually for prostate cancer by checking your PSA. And so you and I are having a different conversation because I didn't have any symptoms of anything. I wasn't manifesting any any incontinence in my urination. I wasn't manifesting any pain. I didn't have any bleeding in my urine, nothing of that sort at all. The only reason why I know today that I have prostate cancer is because you and I have been tracking my PSA level now for several years.
That's right, yeah.
And following up on all the protocols that you prescribe and my following them, when we finally did the biopsy, it was able to confirm it. But if I were the typical man, I'd be running around this place thinking everything was okay, probably running the risk of metastatic prostate cancer.
That's right. You know, and I give another example of that in terms of, and I can call his name because he's been on the radio for quite some time. And And he has made his public testimony to the country that he has had. In fact, he was president of the Cancer Society for some time. And that was Mr. Earl Bethel, his father, Clyde Bethel, who actually started our Us Two Men support group when after he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And so because Earl knew that he was at a much higher risk, twice as likely, because his father had prostate cancer, at the age of 38, he started doing his PSA blood test. And his PSA blood test for his age at 38 was quite great. It was good. It was one. And we would normally say that the upper limit of your blood test should be four.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was 39, his level jumped from one to three.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 year. And he knew something wasn't right. He came forward and we biopsied him. And he had prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. So he was treated at the age of 40. And is now almost 20 years. And he has had no evidence of any prostate cancer recurrence over the past 20 years.
And you know, in 2018, my prostate, my PSA level was 2.9 in 2019. Gentlemen, I want you all to hear this. In 2018, it was 2.9, which was not a flag. And then in 2019, it was 2.8, which was not a flag. It actually went down a little bit. And then in 2019, it started shooting up to 8 and 9. And then in 2020, up to 14. And then 2021, up further until it was up to 26. In that short period of time.
That short period. You know, so that is why that limit of, you want to do it on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see if I can put that PSA in perspective. And I put it in perspective the way, because we understand what happens to women. When a woman has breast cancer, we know that you don't want to feel a lump in your breast, because if you feel a lump in your breast, the science would suggest very strongly that already, as small as it is when you feel it, the chances are it has spread outside the breast. So you want to pick it up before you can feel it. That is what the mammogram is about. You can pick up the early prostate cancer before the person or even the doctor can feel the cancer. That is the stage at which the evidence suggests that you can cure this cancer, or cure in the sense that we would say 10 years, 15 years down the line, plus you're being checked up afterwards and there's no evidence of recurrence of cancer. Now, let me project what happens in the man. What happens in the prostate is that, again, when you feel a cancer in the prostate, the evidence suggests strongly that there is, that the science would show us that the likelihood the cancer has spread outside the prostate.
Now, Doc, if you might explain for people what that means, that the cancer has spread outside the prostate.
Yeah. So what you are talking about is that every organ system in the body has a potential where, but you got to understand what cancer is. Cancer is Let me digress for a minute and get a little spiritual. God made a wonderful body. It's unbelievable that I want you to consider that from one egg in a woman and one equivalent egg in a man, the two of them fuse to form one egg. And from one egg, when you reach an adult, from that one cell, you now have some 30 trillion cells. Okay? And I want you to understand from that one cell that is formed, that the cells begin to multiply. Now, they must multiply. they're doubling and they're tripling, going into the hundreds and the thousands. And at one stage, what happens is that a decision is made that these groups of cells are going to form the heart. These groups of cells are going to form the kidney. These groups of cells are going to form the brain. So the cells separate out, and one group of cells form an organ system. Now, when that organ system is formed, there's also another signal that says that you have reached the size of a normal kidney. You've reached the size of a normal heart. So you can stop multiplying and growing. So there's a precision in our genes that tells us how fast we should multiply, to what extent we should multiply, and when we have reached the correct state that we no longer need to multiply. So we have controlled growth of the cell. Well, what happens in a cancer cell is that we lose that control. The cells start to grow, and they start to grow without any control. That's number one. So we can't decide what that cell function is supposed to be. And as that cell starts to grow, it needs food. And so actually it starts to grow, not performing its function, but eating everything else up. So it literally becomes a parasite. So it starts to feed on the body at the expense of everything else. So that is why you see people, they start to lose weight. And not only that, that organ system also loses its ability to function. And not only that now, when it starts to grow out of control, it breaks off and starts to spread everywhere else in the body. And when it spreads everywhere else in the body, we call that metastasize, it now latches onto another spot. So the cells that were in the liver becoming cancerous will flow through the blood and now go to the lung. And then they will attach in the lung and they will multiply and grow in the lung. And so these cells actually go everywhere else in the body. They latch onto everything else. They begin to grow there. And those organs not able to function, and they are continuously eating. So we see that individuals, therefore, lose the ability to do any kind of function, and they lose weight, and they eventually die. And so we want to get a cancer cell before it breaks loose, before it gets out of its kinds, before it leaves its organ system, before, as we would say in medicine, it metastasizes. And so you want to be able to detect that cancer cell when it first starts confined to the breast before it's big enough to spread. You want to catch it inside the prostate before it's big enough to spread, because the theory goes, if you catch it before it spreads in the organ, you can get rid of it. And so what we want then is that in this early stage, before you can feel anything, before the doctor can feel anything, that's when we want to pick it up. When you need in the prostate, we don't have accurate blood tests that can pick up that early cancer while it's still in the prostate. And that's what the PSA is about. It's what is called a prostate-specific antigen.
And you know,
so it's a molecule that slowly made viables. It means that the prostate is producing these molecules at a high level, and it's producing these at a higher level because the cancers are functioning independently of the control mechanisms in the body. Something is wrong.
So you know, Jeff, just before we take a break, Doc, so if I could let man know, so I'm doing normal executive physical. So I'm not just checking my prostate. I'm checking my heart, my liver, my everything, and so forth and so forth. And yeah, part of the early set of my screening was the, you know, as they like to say, the finger, right? Where you're examining the prostate. And, you know, and men say it's uncomfortable, et cetera. Yeah, it's uncomfortable, but it's necessary. And so I've done it several times as required by my examination, because better that than to end up in problems. But I never had any physical abnormality detected at all. Nothing at all. I never came to Doc and said, Doc, you know, I'm peeing more than I used to pee. Doc, you know, I feel this pressure on my bladder. None of that. No urinary tract infection. None of those things were happening to me. It was simply when that PSA started to elevate, Doc said, well, you know, now it's not just a question of it elevating, because that will happen as you get older, but we want to watch the rate of increase of that. Mm-hmm. And so he said, so you come back to me in 6 months, let's go and measure it again and see what's happening. And that's what we did. And so now we're seeing this start to elevate a little rapidly. And so Doc says, again, it may not necessarily be anything, but we want to keep watching it. And, you know, we thought maybe it could be an infection. So let's try to treat an infection. So we did that for a course, and that is the results. And so then you said, now it's time to do an MRI. Let's go see if we could, through the MRI, physically see if there were any difficulties. The first two MRI, one was not an issue. The other one was like kind of borderline. We're not sure yet. And then the third one said, no, there's definitely something. What I'm saying to men is, this is a monitoring we're doing here. So we're not playing around with what may be something, because we have an indication of something and we're checking it. And this is the kind of vigilance and persistence that has to happen, because it wasn't until the MRI said, you know, there's definitely something going on there. He said, okay, now it's time to do a biopsy.
Yeah. Now, the reason why we do the monitoring in that way, there are two things to bear in mind. That while the PSA is the best we've got in terms of trying to pick up early prostate cancer, we recognize that this is a molecule that's produced by the prostate under normal conditions.
Right.
And so what we find is that other conditions can happen in the prostate that can cause the PSA to be elevated. So very important to appreciate that an elevated PSA, particularly in its early stages, does not mean you have prostate cancer. And so if we look at the normal levels of not being higher than 4, the science is very clear. When it starts to go up from 4 and then it goes to 10, it might go to 20. I've seen men come where the PSAs are in the thousands. But what we have shown is that in the first phase of going up between 4 to 10, where men are more likely to pick this up in the early stages where we would like to, in that range from 4 to 10 when it first goes up, we have shown very clearly that the chances of that being due to a cancer is only about 15%. So in other words, 85% of the times within the early stages of the PSA going up, that PSA is elevated because of other things. And what are those other things? The most common one is sexual activity, and meaning ejaculation. When you have sex and you have an ejaculation, your PSA goes up immediately. It takes at least about 2 days for it to come back down to normal. So men need to know, if you're going to do your PSA blood test, you should wait at least 2 days before you do of no sex and do the blood test. The second more common one is that, again, the prostate is very fascinating. As we get older, the prostate starts to grow. And all men, we don't know why, it just continues to grow and it never stops growing for the rest of our lives. Some it grows slowly, some it grows quickly, but it continues. And when it grows, it gets a little bigger, and a little bigger prostate makes a little more PSA. So this increase in prostate size, which we call a benign prostate growth, is the second or the most common reasons why your PSA is elevated up a little. If you get an infection in the prostate, that will cause it to go up. In fact, an infection in the prostate doesn't mean that that's a sexually transmitted disease. In fact, it probably is not. The same bugs that get on your skin, just like I would have said to the individual, we have bugs that live in our mouth. Well, those bugs that live in the area around the genital region, they get up in the penis and they get in the prostate just by natural progression. And that can cause your PSA go up.
In fact, if the doctor examines the prostate too hard, and they can say, that caused the PSA go. So I've got quite a number of things that say to go up that have nothing to do with prostate cancer. So if the doctor says your PSA goes up, yes, you should be very cautious. And it's only recently that we have now this new development in the MRI where we can pick up these early changes in the prostate that are more likely to signal a prostate cancer. Now, the other thing you have to be very careful of is that how are you going to find out if you have prostate cancer? At the end of the day, you still need to have a sample of the tissue. You have to take a little small piece of the prostate, put it under the microscope to see if there are indeed prostate cancer cells. Now, when you do that, you have to put needles in the prostate to take those samples out. Well, if you're in an area, you also realize that is not a clean area and you can never sterilize it. So you have an increased chance of getting an infection. And those infections sometimes can be very deadly. You know, and about 1%, they can be deadly. And so that is the reason why, even though it's small, when it happens, it's severe. We always would say to the men, we're going to cover you with antibiotics beforehand. But we do not want to do any biopsies if we do not have to. So the best way to minimize having a septic episode or severe infection that overwhelms the body, it is best not to have a biopsy if you don't need to have it. So that's the reason why we monitor. That's the reason. And that's the reason why we don't jump in someone quickly and say, we want a biopsy, because there are complications. You want to avoid the complications. And the best way to avoid complications is not to do something that isn't needed.
Necessary. Doc, we gotta take a break right now, but when we come back, let's talk about the screening that's coming up. Let's talk about what that entails and what these gentlemen who are motivated to do so need to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alang, your host, and I'm here speaking with Dr. Robin Roberts. We're talking about prostate screening, prostate cancer, and all these other things that Ben and the people who love them want to pay attention to. You're listening to Z Live, and I'll be back after this.
I march the car. The lady who run into me march the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 356-7764.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again, how does this work?
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free 800-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you say.
So what are we waiting waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF Margin Loan at rfgroup.com.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this up through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same
road. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where I'm here with Dr. Robin Roberts. You know him. He is the urologist of note in the country for so many years and years, and for so many men who have had to seek out his care. You know, Dr. Roberts, a gentleman with whom I sat, two of my friends I sat with, they were elderly men at the time, and with whom I spoke about weeks before they passed away from prostate cancer, told me they wouldn't wish it on their worst enemy at the stages that
Nothing, first of all, it's a very painful death. To watch your loved ones suffer. They can't eat, they can't drink, and it's almost impossible to relieve the pain because you never do. What sometimes the best you can hope for is to relieve the pain to allow for a couple hours sleep. But the pain never goes away. And you remember, I remember my daddy as a strapping fellow who was larger than life. And to watch him in bed, not even able to sit up. Just to be ready, just a skeleton of a human being. It is the most. And even when you get the disease in the advanced stage, and then I'm going to go, we can talk about screening. Even when you get the disease in the advanced stage, we have made some tremendous advances in prostate cancer, particularly for men in the advanced stage disease, such that we are on the border now that when men have prostate cancer and they present with advanced disease, where it's metastasized, it's spread throughout the organ system, that we have the treatment now where we can treat it such that we almost like how AIDS disease is today, in that we can't cure you, but we can control the disease and a good life. So we are at that verge of doing that with prostate cancer. The problem is, the treatment that we have available today is not cheap. It is very, very expensive. When you start to talk about medications that are going to cost you $4,000 and $5,000 per month, ad infinitum, for as long as you live. And you might live, you know, the advances are such that one time ago, half of the men would have died. When you have advanced prostate cancer, half of the men would have died at the age, within 2 years of diagnosis. Nowadays, we're talking about half of the men dying 6 and 7 years down the line instead of 2 years down the line, and much longer. So we have had some tremendous successes in men with advanced prostate cancer, but the treatments are expensive. And for many of us, it is unaffordable. Those are the reality. You know, when AIDS first came in, the average person could not afford AIDS. Mm-hmm. They couldn't afford the treatment. Well, we are at that stage right now. It's going to be a while before the treatment reaches that level where everyone has the access and availability for it.
Which is one of the reasons why then early detection makes the most sense.
That is why early detection, because the burden of the disease is unbelievable. Okay, so that's why you want the early detection. And I want to take a minute to get the distinction and for people to understand what screening really means, as opposed to early detection. Screening in medicine is a very specific term. People using Luthi say, I'm going to get screened. That is when I'm going to get screened. Screening as a policy means in medicine and healthcare. What screening means is when the health professional goes out to the public at large, a healthy population of the public at large, that we go out to them and we say, we want to check you out while you are still healthy, because you could possibly have this disease that you are not aware of, that we want to test you to make sure that you don't have it now. And if we pick it up early, we can show very clearly that down the line, 5-10 years plus, you would not have died from this disease. That's what screening is. Us, the professionals, go out to you and test you out. You're not looking for us to come. You're not looking to come to us. We are bothering you. So we have to make sure whatever tests that we do are simple, easy to do, and whatever complications that can occur, they are very few and far between. As opposed to, I'm going to the doctor every year. I'm going to check myself out for him to make sure that if there is something, he can pick it up early. So screening is in healthcare is a major policy decision, as opposed to going to get your regular checkup of your own initiative is a personal decision. So what we are talking about, we are looking at doing screening. We want healthy people to come when they're feeling good, because the population is extremely high.
And so we're gonna talk to folks. We gotta go to our news break, Doc, and then we're gonna talk to folks about these screening days and what's involved. And then I wanna talk to you when we come back from the break about some of those things we can do to minimize our risk or to spot when we may be more at risk and these kinds of things. That sounds good?
That sounds excellent.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us today for this very, very important information. And when we come back from the news break, we will continue our conversation with Dr. Robin Roberts. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year. Ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek, you can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world. Learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF Margin Loan at rfgroup.com.
The Grand Bahama News Day in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
I just want, I want to let you know, I took
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we are here speaking with Dr. Robin Roberts. We're talking about some PSA testing that's going to be happening real soon. Very important for men to pay attention to the information and make themselves available for this testing that's happening. It's free. But Dr. Roberts, is it men perhaps who are manifesting some symptoms that may indicate that something is wrong with the prostate, that it makes it especially important for them to pay attention, and what might some of those symptoms be?
Well, I always emphasize that when you're dealing with prostate cancer, the most common symptom of having prostate cancer is no symptom at all. I expect the men, when they have early prostate cancer, they will feel absolutely normal. That is the first thing. You don't want to wait until you feel something. That's right. The first thing.
Right.
The second thing you need to understand, probably the most important thing when it comes to symptoms, is to understand the prostate gland itself. Now, you remember I said that the prostate gland has this unique biology where when a man reaches about 40 years of age, it stops growing. Now, the prostate gland is situated right at the bottom of the bladder, such that the mouth of the bladder or the outlet of the bladder carrying the urine outside passes through the prostate. So when the prostate gets big, it squeezes that bladder opening, so the urine can't come out. So let me put it in a perspective for you. When you look at the normal size of a prostate, you're looking at something in an adult male about the size of a sour lime. Now, when the prostate starts to grow, that can increase to the size of a golf ball. It can go larger to the size of a lemon. It can go larger to the size of an orange. In some men, it can grow as big as a grapefruit. So you can imagine, as it gets bigger, it's squeezing more on the bladder to some extent where it closes the bladder off completely. And you can't. So when it first starts to squeeze, the men would notice that the urine isn't coming out strong like it used to. The stream is weak. As the folks would say, one time ago, I could hit the wall. Now I barely can get it over my feet. Some men, I tell you, they feel more comfortable sitting down so they don't wet their feet. And then, so in addition to getting slow, and these are all from the prostate getting big now, okay, or not being able to pee. And because the prostate gets big, anything that grows needs to have more blood vessels. So if you get more blood vessels, it's more likely that you can have, because you're now having blood vessels that normally shouldn't be there, so they're more fragile and more friable. So they're more likely to break. You might even get them bleeding. And so all these problems where the peeing, so you start waking up in the night because the bladder doesn't empty completely. And so you used to get up one time, two times. The more it grows and squeezes, you start to wake up more often. And then it's so full that when you are go, you have it all. So these are all features of the prostate getting big. That has nothing to do with cancer. This is what we call the benign growth of the prostate, or you see what is called a BPH. Now, sometimes that prostate could get big because it has a cancer in it. So the same f- features of the prostate getting big because it has a cancer would be the same features of the prostate getting big without a cancer. So I caution men that it's more common that you will have these symptoms related to the big prostate that has nothing to do with a cancer. So when you start to wake up in the night and pee a little more often, don't think first of cancer. Think first that your prostate might be getting big. That's the benign growth. And we have great treatments to stop that from happening. Or even when you can't pee anymore, you have what is called a stoppage, we can treat that too very readily. Now, if it is big because there's a cancer now, that's different. Because in addition now to those symptoms of blocking the prostate, issues related to bleeding. And then you can also have the problem where the prostate can actually grow into the back, into the rectum right behind. But more importantly now, that cancer, as it gets big, spreads. It metastasizes. It gets loose outside the prostate. And now you have those general symptoms because the first site it wants to go is to the bones in the back, the bones in the ribs. And so that's why you get those back pains. And not only that, they can press on the spinal cord, which is the big nerve from the brain that goes to supply the rest of the body. And when that becomes compressed, then you're paralyzed. And in addition, now you're losing weight. You're losing all your energy. It's invading the bone. You can't make your red blood cells. You become anemic. So you can have all of these conditions, the devastating conditions of having advanced prostate cancer. And so you don't want to wait for that. That's why you want to get checked up early. Burden of the disease.
Right.
We're now talking about being admitted in hospital and all that sort of complicated course of action. So you don't want to go there.
What is it that you have found, Dr. Roberts, in your practice may be the primary reason that Bahamian men aren't coming in for testing, aren't coming in for these evaluations that could help detect whether they have a problem with the prostate or cancer?
Well, let us look at, first of all, let's look at it from a behavioral perspective. We are men. We are raised as men. And that whole macho thing where men don't get sick and men don't feel pain and men don't go to the doctor. So we're brought up not to look after our health. So that is the first thing. So we don't go to the doctor unless we have no choice until the pain becomes so embarrassing. Try to drag us to go to the doctor. We still don't get there, at least when we get there, it's too late. So we have developed this habit poor access to maintaining our health. And so that's a big problem. That's our culture. Men don't go and get checked. Now, in addition to that, even most men just are unaware of what the prostate gland is, where it is, and what it does, and its importance. A lot of it is lack of awareness. Because I find once the men become aware and they become sensitized, they are more likely to come and see the doctor. Okay? And so we got a behavioral problem. We have an awareness problem. And then, of course, you have the men who, in addition, although they are aware, they don't do. They would be called stubborn. Or a lot of them are afraid. They do not want to know. And so we have all these factors related to our behavior. And then you have the other real part related to our genes. The evidence is very clear that men of African descent, that we have some genes that, and when they would be called mutate, so they change their structure and they perform poorly. That is what leads to the cells becoming independent in terms of their growth. They run amok. And so we understand this more when I t- tell you what happens to women and breast cancer. We know for very fact in the Bahamas that we have one of the world's, one of the world's highest incidence of breast cancer for our population size. And we have one of the highest incidence of women who present with advanced breast cancer. And that is because we've been able to show through our women going across to Miami and them recognizing this high incidence and prevalence of breast cancer, that something must be wrong. And they tested our genes. And what they found is that women in the Bahamas have the highest rate of abnormal or mutated genes that can cause breast cancer, far above anybody else. And we've also been able to find that these same bad genes, which are called the BRCA genes or the BRCA, same bad genes are what are associated with prostate cancer. And we know that, therefore, we also are going into the stage where we are saying to the women that we should also look at testing your family, your daughters, to see if they have it so they can get checked up more early. And we are in the process where the same thing would occur to men and prostate cancer. So there's a big link. So genetics plays a big role where we know for a fact that if your father, uncle, brother, cousin, someone close to you have prostate cancer, that you are at a much higher risk to have prostate cancer.
Couple things here, Doc. This text says, great as usual, ratio as usual, no man warn another man, touch them, especially in the hip area, so no sir.
That's a big issue, eh?
It's a very, very big issue.
I heard the comedian say, after, say, we could send a man to the moon, we could invent a nuclear bomb, but that means of checking a man's prostate is we stick two fingers up your backside.
Well, you know, we used to be taught in medical school that if you don't put your finger in it, you put your foot on it. In other words, you die and we walk over your grave.
Now, let me
be very scientific and tell you that the PSA blood test is much, much more accurate than the finger test. Much more accurate. And the evidence shows that you can get away with picking up prostate cancer early without having to do the finger test. That is not for debate. Now, that is why I took the time to say very clearly, we have a behavior problem, much more than a genetic. We have a behavior problem, our attitude towards our health that needs to be changed. You initially said that when you go for annual executive physical checkup. You want to pick up your body. You want it to go from top to bottom. When you go for your annual checkup, the doctor should be checking every opening in your body. Your mouth you need to look at, your nose he needs to look in, your ears they need to look at. The rectum needs to be looked at because the rectum is not only something for prostate. You have cancers of the anus, you have cancer of the skin, you have hemorrhoids, you got all kinds of diseases that occur around the anus. When you put your finger in the rectum, you not only have prostate cancer, you got rectal cancers. You have other type of cancer. So this is a part of the examination of your anal area or rectal area that should normally be done. I don't know anybody who takes a glass to look at their backside. How else someone's supposed to look at their backside other than when you have a regular checkup? So let me make it clear. You are looking at changing behavior, that when you come to get your prostate checkup, it's an opportunity for all of you to be checked up, including your anal area. That's the first thing. You know, the second thing is that there's also, the PSA is not perfect. There's evidence to show that up to 10 to 15% of people who have prostate cancer, that the PSA is perfectly normal. And the prostate is like hard rock. That's the only way you should have detected. Okay? The third thing that makes it important is because when you have the prostate that's cancerous, feels quite different from the prostate that's benign. So you can have a lot of evidence to determine the size of the prostate, to determine whether this elevated PSA you have. Oh, yes, that's consistent with the size of the prostate. I don't need to now go and do an expensive $800 or $1,000 MRI or a $300 or $400 ultrasound to show the size of the prostate. I can determine on my examination, oh, his prostate, his PSA is up a little bit. That's in keeping with the size of his prostate. So there, you know, so one needs to realize that no one likes to examine the back passage. The outlet, they don't like to deal with someone's back passage. So given an opportunity, they don't want to do that test. So they like to say, oh, boy, I don't want to do that test anymore. You know what I mean? I have the PSA. So I'm not going to examine no rectum or do anything like that. I'm not going to do a PSA. And so, you know, this is all a part of our overall and total health. So, you know, so when I look at when you get evaluated for your prostate health, that's all an extension of your prostate health, what's happening in the back of you. So that is my rationale. And we're looking at a test that should take 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I always say when the doctor is spending 10 seconds in the back there, you got to figure out what in the hell he's doing.
Yeah. But doc, you mentioned the genetic factor in the situation. I can tell people, you know, and you and I discussed this with us, part of how I should proceed or look at my treatment for it. Somebody sent me a text asking me, is this for real or is this just for information? No, I did share that I have been diagnosed with prostate cancer. I want you to know that. That's one of the reasons of the testing that's going to be happening soon. But, you know, I have uncles who have died from prostate cancer, right? So clearly I have a genetic predisposition to that. But genes are not destiny, are they, Doc? Because we also know that while you could have a genetic predisposition to something, there are things we could do that also hasten or make more likely our possibility of coming into disease, right?
So we talked about our behaviors and our attitudes, that basically men have poor health-seeking behaviors, and we have to change that. We talked about a genetic component. There's also a nutritional component.
Mm.
Okay, and the evidence is very clear that obesity is a risk factor for prostate cancer. That's number one. And so what determines our obesity a lot of times? Two things. We don't eat well. We have food which is very high in fat, meat. In many instances, are not good. It's not good for you.
Sugar.
And sugar, okay? Overweight. That's all a part of it. And similarly, we have exercise on the other side. If you look at it from a population base, and I give kudos to like the Seventh-day Adventists, those populations of people that have that maintain their weight, that have good diet, that's a more vegetarian-based diet, and have exercise, the evidence is clear. Their incidence of prostate cancer is low. Their incidence of cancers in general is low. One of the most fascinating studies have been to look at the group of people from Japan, the place like Okinawa, where the diet is one where you have very little obesity in the population. They eat a lot of seafood, a lot of vegetarian. They exercise every day. They are one of the lowest rates of prostate cancer in the world. And what they have done is shown that that population of people now move to America, spirals.
The other thing, increased
lack of exercise. Very clear.
The other thing I think, Doc, because you know I can't definitively say anything, but one of the things that I looked at and I went and I scanned my life. I said to myself, looking at the tests, looking at the acceleration, you know, what has been the difference in the periods where I saw the most acceleration? And, you know, I definitely think that not only the genetic predisposition contribute, I also think diet certainly contributed, because I was one of them people like, I can't eat without drinking a soda with my meat and having all these floury, ricey foods. And I love meat. I'm a O negative, and you know, we meat eaters, they say. And so I love meat. I ain't tell nobody I love meat. And then
Also, I find that stress, you know, was in that period of time that I mentioned when that acceleration that took place was probably one of the most stressful periods of my life.
Mm. But, you know, the other evidence which is becoming who are diagnosed with prostate cancer and being treated, that if you exercise regularly, if you change your diet such that you switch this more vegetarian-based diet, that you decrease the recurrence of your prostate cancer and increase your longevity. This scientific proof is, this is factual now. Mm-hmm. This is not just hypothetical. So I can't stress that when we're looking at our overall health, that we need to ensure that we also have those preventive measures.
Good eating habits,
good exercise. What I'm saying again, I stress the behavior. It is
yes.
You see, we have to stop relying on the medicine. Oh, I can get this test.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I can get this pill. And mm-hmm. this is why when I look at that whole issue of getting your digital examination, you have to look at yourself in that comprehensive, that holistic viewpoint. Say, these are the things that I need to do for my good health.
We have not a test.
Sissy. Because I can't get my, because they got put a finger inside my back pocket. Nothing irks me more than how, to show you the extent of this, one of my colleagues in Jamaica, they did a study with PhDs in the university in Jamaica. And they asked very clearly in terms of getting, their prostate tested. And they said, listen, we don't want that no reckless job, none of it. You know what I mean? And it's amazing to see educated individuals who are aware that they would look and frown and say, we believe that this is a violation of our body. It's a problem. When you go to the dentist and you open your mouth and the dentist looks at it, you don't say the dentist violating your mouth. Huh? Look at the stress that women have to go and get there when they get there. They go and reluctantly, okay, they would go and get their pap test. And you think women like you? A mammogram is the most uncomfortable thing that I see. The most uncomfortable.
A woman just told me that. That she feels violated by the breast examination.
Yes, of course. All right, but they do it because they feel that is a part of their overall health and well-being. Okay, and men need to get out of this. I call it nonsense when they come to old doc. I get scared. We need to grow up.
The reality is the only opening we have of that of any significance down there is your anus. But look at women who go to gynecologists.
That's the other side of the coin. You think women, it is stressful. You know what women it takes for them to go in and get their pap test done. And that is the reason it puts you on the other side of the coin. That's the reason why in the Bahamas today, that the number two cause of death in the women cancers in this country, because today in modern medicine, no woman should die of cervical cancer. It is a totally preventable disease if a woman goes and get a pap test on a regular basis as she should. Because when you detect it early, it is totally curable. It is a totally preventable disease. And it is a crime every time I see a woman who's diagnosed with advanced cervical cancer and dying from cervical cancer. It should not happen in this day and age.
We have a text here, Doc says, when is the date for the testing, please? Very good show, better than politics talk. Oh, man, it's another important talk. So please, after Dr. Enhancement pills cause prostate cancer.
Well, I tell you one thing, if those enhancement pills can cause worse things than prostate cancer, because for them to be feeling effective, a fair amount of those things have steroids in them. And steroids, they can give you the reverse of what you feel that you need to have. Because the way the body is designed, it causes the brain to turn off our natural steroids. And as a result of that, it affects the testosterone functioning. And they can be sterile. So you got to be very careful about taking these medications. And furthermore, there is no scientific evidence that they increase potency. So let me make it clear. Okay? Unless you and that small percentage of men that have a testosterone deficiency, and I'm talking about 2 and 3%, where it makes a difference. But overall, it has nothing to do with the average person who, when they get 40 and 50, realize that they got a problem where their erections are not functioning as they should. But let me highlight about our prostate cancer screening. This is September, and worldwide, we recognize September, and now lately there's November, and we can talk about that later on when November comes, which we call it Movember, which is a whole new prostate cancer awareness arena. But over the society, we started to have our annual screening for prostate cancer in September. And we are very clear that here are the things that we need to do for men in terms of improving their behavior and bettering their health. First of all, we need to do it at a convenient time. So we do it in the evening when men are finished from work. So 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock in order to accommodate. Secondly, we do it with regards, we are cognizant of costs. Okay, and so our screening actually is free at no cost to them. I'd like to emphasize it's not free, but it's at no cost to you. We have gone around, we've had a lot of companies, we've had individuals who have donated their money or donated their supplies that we need and who have donated their time in order to perform the tests. And so we believe that those are the key ingredients. And then we are now on the radio, and we had our ad in the newspaper, you go on the television, this is available. And we have our clinic. In order, the government has really bought into this with us. So we have them in a neutral place in the government clinics. We have one in the east. We start off in Elizabeth Estates. So that is on September the 19th, beginning tomorrow, Tuesday evening. I'm 6 to 9. We start registration as early as 4 o'clock. Someone there can start you, get ready. Then on the Thursday, we go into the West. We go to Flamingo Gardens Clinic on the 21st of September. That's the Thursday. And then next week, we do the same thing. On Tuesday, the 26th of September, we go in the South to the South Beach Clinic. And then on the Thursday, we come into the North, the Fleming Street Clinic at 6 o'clock on September the 28th. So we take these 2 weeks. Where we go, we encompass the whole island. And so no one can say, well, that is too far for me. Because we go in areas where the men have ready access. So if you missed us in Elizabeth Estate, you can come and see us when we go in the north and the south, knowing that we're going to be around for 2 weeks and where we're doing it. We also have similar clinics in Freeport. Freeport is much more advanced. I need a whole day to talk about what's happening in Freeport. But we're also trying to get to the family islands as well. And so I know I've had engagements now where I might be going to the Dairy Islands. There's a group that is asking us to come to Inagua. You know, the women in their pap tests through the Cancer Society, that they visit the family islands during the course of the year, almost every month or every other month, to get free testing. So we try to tag on along with them in their PSA. But we think that our problems with the men are so far advanced that we need to be joining, we need to be going on a monthly basis to sensitize the men to this problem. And I'll tell you why that's important and where we are. Because if you look at what has happened since PSA came into being in the late 1990s, and I will keep telling this to our pop, in the developed countries where the men took heed that they would go and get their regular checkups. They'd get their prostate examined, go to rectal exam or just the PSA. They are conscious and they get their early checkup when they are feeling well. That they have reduced the prevalence of prostate cancer in terms of when they pick it up from 80% down to 20%, so that 80% of the men present with early prostate cancer. 80% with early prostate cancer. Only 15 to 20% present with advanced prostate cancer. Well, in the Bahamas, like the rest of the Caribbean, we haven't changed that dynamics, despite the fact that it's almost, you know, it's over 20 years that PSA and our screening, our programs and campaigns have come into play, that still 80% of the men in this country are presenting with advanced disease, as if it never happened. We've got to change that paradigm. It's costing us too much in terms of what it's costing, its sufferings. We've got to change that paradigm. And until we do that, you know, it took them in North America and Canada, it took about 10 to 15 years to change that paradigm. And so it's going to take us at least another 10 years for us to see those changes.
We have to take a break, Doc, our last break. And then when we come back, there are some people who have some questions for you. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're here with Dr. Robin Roberts, and we're talking about prostate cancer screening. And there's some opportunities coming up real soon that Doc has already just mentioned, and we'll mention again soon enough. We'll be back after this break. This road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Burger King wants you to enjoy a classic sandwich so good we've been making it since 1979. Introducing the original chicken sandwich, $7.95 including VAT. This sandwich is made with white meat chicken, lightly breaded and topped with crisp, fresh lettuce, creamy mayonnaise, tomatoes, and lots of American cheese on a long sesame seed bun. Get your American original chicken sandwich combo for only $7.95 including VAT at Burger King NASA, where taste is king.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 352-6676.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us for these remaining moments of the show, where I'm speaking with Dr. Robin Roberts. We're talking about prostate cancer screening and the opportunities. You men, this is not for the women, it's for the men, but the women who love them, care about them, that's to be your husband, your uncle, your brother, your whoever. You want to pay attention because you might be the influence that could get them there. Doc, we have some notes here, but I want to mention you to speak to something that you said to me that was profound when I had the conversation with you. You said, listen, prostate cancer is not a you disease. It's a family disease.
Yeah, that's, you know, when I have my patients who come and we diagnose that they have prostate cancer, it's life-changing. But for everyone in the family, particularly for your spouse, because the treatments for prostate cancer, the complications, they for many men, they're very hard to live with. So let us look at how we treat prostate cancer. Let us say that we picked it up early. It is confined. Now, traditionally, the ideal way to get rid of it was to remove the entire prostate. That is called a radical prostatectomy. Now, when you remove the entire prostate, which is great because now you've gotten rid of the cancer, and it can give you essentially like a cure if you got all the cells out. The problem is that it where the prostate gland is situated, you have the nerves going to the penis, which are important for your erections. You have the muscles that are and the nerves that affect your valve to make sure that you've gotten all the cancer out. And then you're looking at a major operation where you can have bleeding and complications. So the ones that stick out though, you have that you've lost your ability to have an erection. At least half of the men, 60% of the men or more who have the operation will have that problem. And even though you might have some return of function, they will tell you that it's never the same. Don't mind them telling you, oh, this is going to be great. The truth of the matter is, if you ask the men what happened after the surgery, they will tell you these are the facts. And you had about two out of every five men who have the operation, they have a problem where they can't control the urine. They might have to wear, depends. Some men, they have to wear three and four a day or even more. And so these are life-changing. Now, if you had a partner and you had a very nice, active sex life, every week and so on, and all of a sudden that changes. I've had men come and say, "Listen, I can't live like this." Several years ago, that was with men complaining that they had this operation and it destroyed their life. On the other end, you get radiation. Radiation too has problems. You know, the radiation is much better. You don't have the complications like you had before. But you can have heavy bleeding in the rectum. You can have major problems passing your urine. So you have these complications. And so, you have, now it's worse now if you have advanced disease where you now need a heavy medication, where you're talking about hormone treatment. Well, the minute you start the hormone treatment, your sexual function just goes out of the window. And so you have to make sure that your wife or your spouse appreciate this change that's going to happen. We talk all the time about women who go through menopause and how it affects their sexual function. Well, for men, this is 10 times worse than menopause, because this isn't something that you're going through. This is something that you might have to live with for the rest of your life. And so you do need to make sure that your partner is there. It's very difficult making the decisions. What should I do? What type of hormone treatment should I have? Should I do the procedure where I do surgery and remove my testicles? So these are major decisions. And if you have your spouse with you, if you have your family with you, that you can discuss this, you can go and get second opinions, you can read up about it, you can be informed, you can make better decisions. You can't carry this load on your own. You shouldn't try to do that. The depression will get you. You can become suicidal. Because think about it now, as far as men can feel, they feel less of a man. Less of a
man. I have a text here that's very related to what you said. It says, "Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I had a robotic prosthetic prostatectomy, and now about 2 years later, my erection is best if I take 5 milligrams of Cialis. My erection is almost 100%. Are there stories of men who stop taking Cialis and still have excellent erections?"
Well, let me tell you, you're in a good group, okay? But a lot of men, no matter how you try, you still can't spare the nerves. It's the very nature of the anatomy. And you're very fortunate in that you can have something like, you have a medication that you can treat this condition. So more kudos to you. The robotic is also one of the newer technologies that we have for doing the surgery. And it's fantastic if you can get it, because it's what we call minimal invasive. You don't need a big cut. You have less bleeding, but you have to realize that the results of the robot in terms of your erection function, in terms of your ability to control the urine, all right, is no better whether you have a robot versus whether you have open. So you have to make sure what it is, because then when you look at the extra cost that you have, all right, and then you will find that there aren't that many doctors that have the expertise in perfecting the robot at this point in time. And so people are selling you the technology, but they're not ready to selling you the skill of the surgeon. They're too difficult that you are truly informed about this condition and what are the problems and what you can expect. Because once you go down the road one way, it's hard to turn back. You've already made that decision. So you got to be very careful.
We were talking about the extent to which the prostate examination is a challenge. This is a lady saying, got a colonoscopy this morning, and it was a violation of my rectum.
Well, the only good thing about the colonoscopy is that at least most of the times, you know, the doctor will sedate you, so you will actually have no, you'll be totally unaware, okay, that you are having this colonoscopy. To have a colonoscopy while you're awake, I tell you, you're almost like being a masochist. But I have a very strong family history of colon cancer. My father died of colon cancer. I have a brother who died of colon cancer. I have another brother who died of a related cancer from the pancreas. So I can't think about a violation. That's life-saving for me, because I know if I pick up colon cancer at an early stage, I can be cured.
And so it is. We have these testing opportunities coming up for you, gentlemen. And once again, Doc, you want to give us the schedule and dates for the various clinics so people could take advantage of it? Listen, guys,
I'm very happy that after a 3 to 4 year hiatus, the Cancer Society, led by us two, Men's Support Group, we're very pleased that we have resumed our September clinics, and we have 4 clinics as before. We have 1 in the east, 1 in the west, 1 in the north, and 1 in the south, starting tomorrow, Tuesday, September the 19th, at Elizabeth Estates Clinic, and then on Thursday, September the 21st, at Flamingo Gardens Clinic, and then the following week, on the Tuesday, the 26th, at South Beach Clinic. We start at 6 o'clock. We like to finish by 9. We start registration as early as 4 o'clock. So we have it in the evening. And I want to say, in all 4 of the clinics, there will be no charge. So we really want you to come, and I want to encourage. When we do our little survey, I tell you, half of the men will tell you that they come because their spouse tell them they must come. Sometimes the women bring them. I had a woman one time who came into the room with a fella, and she said, "Doc, I want to see it happen because I don't believe it." I run out of the room. So I really respect the women, and I'm happy that they would be listening, because they are very strong force to come there to come. Prostate testing.
Just to your point, I've had colonoscopies, and that's just as this text is saying that she was using the word violation to be facetious because she was asleep. A little uncomfortable, maybe even a lot of uncomfortable for people, is the professionalism of the people involved, and the procedure these days makes it so much more tolerable. I think that's something that needs to be said, that you have people who understand the discomfort that it might mean for you. And I've done all the things necessary to try to make that discomfort as little as possible, whether that's putting you under anesthesia in the case of a colonoscopy, or really the way the doctors manage the process with respect to prostate examination. It's quick, you know, and you can, and it always is. I mean, every instance has been in and out, and you're not sitting there all the while thinking, why am I here doing this for this long?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And we have another text here, Doc. Let me ask this question for these folks, so I don't want them to miss their opportunity. There's a good afternoon. I had the robotic surgery at Cleveland Clinic 2 years ago. I wore the pens about 3 days, and I had one accident. And that's wearing the first one. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer at age 12.
Absolutely. I was about to say that. Okay. The men who get that operation in their 50s do much better than those who get it in their 70s. Okay, the younger you are, the more potent you are. Your body's in a better condition. So that's the other reason why you want to get an early checkup. And that's the reason why you want to get it early. Absolutely.
And I find with this journey, Doc, too, like, as you go through it, it matters the professional also, because one of the things that I appreciated with you from the start is how much information you give. This isn't a let me check you, then tell you what's wrong with you. We sit down and we talk almost longer than the actual procedures involved, because all along it was an education for me.
In fact, there are a lot of countries where their national policy does not mandate having a PSA blood test. You got to care. Okay? A person to have a PSA blood test done is what you call, he has to have an informed decision making. The patient and the doctor discuss the pros and the cons, because the other side of the coin is the biology of prostate cancer. There's some men where prostate cancer grows very slowly, and so it might never bother them in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. And you are now doing a procedure then which is unnecessary. And so you also have to discuss that with the men. And it all depends on that prevalence or the burden of the disease in your society. Well, we have a society where the burden of prostate cancer is high. And so we should be in a position whereby prostate cancer screening is, as far as I'm concerned, it's available for everybody. And I'm proud to say, being associated with the National Health Insurance Program, that we made prostate cancer PSA screening as a part of one of the benefits. So if you are getting your PSA and your rectal examination as a part of your annual checkup by your family physician.
We have a text I want to ask this for you, Dr. Say. We're asking this for a little bit. And Mr. Langgood Show, could you ask Doc, would he recommend, this is the word, TRUP operation, and would he recommend pills to reduce prostate?
What procedure you say again?
TRUP today. They use TRUP. I don't know what that is.
Oh, you mean in TRUP?
They use TRUP.
That's what it is. TRUP. Okay. That's transurethral resection of the prostate.
Okay.
Let me make it clear. Absolutely clear. That procedure is not a procedure for treating prostate cancer. That is a treatment purely for men who have benign prostate cancer that's blocking up the bladder. That should not be used for prostate cancer. When it is used for prostate cancer, it's in very, very extreme cases where the treatment has been very good. They have responded to the cancer in the passage. And so that might be the only time when that procedure might be done. But it's not a procedure to be done for men with prostate cancer. And I'm glad he mentioned that, because, again, that's related to benign prostate gland. It's a very common disease. I would do that, that we do that on a weekly, bi-weekly basis in the country. Realizing that when you do that condition, you are not removing the prostate, nor are you removing that part of the prostate where cancer begins. So the fact that you had a TURP, we call it the TURP, or the fact that you had an operation on the prostate because you had difficulty peeing, does not mean your prostate has been removed and does not mean that you cannot get prostate cancer. You are at the same risk to get prostate cancer as if you didn't have a prostate operation.
Hmm. Is that the ultrasound related?
That is totally different from when you have an ultrasound guided biopsy of the prostate. When you suspect that someone might have a prostate cancer, and so you are doing a biopsy of the prostate, we have a special ultrasound machine that goes in the back passage in the rectum. So it's transrectal. That's where the trans meaning you're through the rectum, ultrasound, okay, biopsy of the prostate. You see what I mean? So that's a different thing. That's
oh,
a
no.
as opposed to a TURP.
Okay, you, Dorf, we got to get you back. We got to get you back for a couple of reasons. We got to get you back to come talk to us some more. We also got to get you to come back and talk about some national insurance for us, since you were chairing that important effort in the country. But we have plumb out of time. We're grateful. On tomorrow, I will continue to mention the dates for the clinic so that people can.
Yes. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. God spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, just let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.